This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. There are about 50 prisoners in this state serving life without parole who were sentenced when they were juveniles. Two cases before the U.S. Supreme Court today could change their fates. These are cases out of Alabama and Arkansas in which young people were convicted of murder and put away for life. The court will eventually decide if that's cruel and unusual punishment. CPR's Andrea Dukakis reports on the implications for this state.
When Nathan Yabanez was 16, he attacked his mother with fireplace tongs and choked her to death. He was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. He's now 33 and knows he'll likely die behind bars.
I try to maintain hope, but I also try to look at things realistically. So I understand that, there's a strong possibility that I'll never leave, the prison system.
Yabanez's case is complicated. Family and friends say his parents abused him physically and sexually. Yabanez says whatever the circumstances, teenagers shouldn't be sentenced like adults because they don't understand consequences like adults.
You don't think like that when you're that young. Well, maybe some people do. I don't know. But for me personally, I didn't think like that. The majority of kids don't think like that. That's why there's laws that say you can't do this, you can't do this, you got to be this old, and so on.
And new research has shown young people's brains aren't fully developed and lack the capacity to think long term. It's something the Supreme Court will take into consideration. Adams County District Attorney Don Quick is unconvinced. He says having worked with young offenders, it's hard to believe those who commit cold-blooded murder don't understand what they're doing.
I would suggest people, before they have an opinion about it, to actually look at what those offenders did and the type of the murders that they are.
Still, in 2006, Colorado decided to eliminate life without parole sentences for juveniles. The maximum they can now get is 40 years without parole. But the new law didn't apply retroactively to about 50 offenders like Yabanez. Some think that's unfair. Mary Ellen Johnson is with the Colorado-based Pendulum Foundation, which advocates on behalf of these prisoners.
What I say is that these 50 kids that are serving life without parole, it's as if they're frozen in amber. The idea that we're punishing these 50 more harshly than anyone else doesn't make any sense to me.
But District Attorney Don Quick says letting them out isn't fair to the victims and their families who were assured these convicts would be put away for life.
I think the right thing to do is when you look at those crimes and you say those are the right crimes, and you look at those families and you see what the state of Colorado promised them, that those ones that are in custody shouldn't get out again.
It's now up to the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether to eliminate life without parole for all juveniles. If it does, it's likely Colorado lawmakers will amend the current law to include juvenile offenders serving life without parole. And if that happens, Nathan Yabanez and the other 50 or so juvenile lifers in Colorado could end up living some part of their lives on the outside. Andrea Dukakis, Colorado Public Radio News.
The possibility that justices could declare these sentences unconstitutional isn't far-fetched. In the last several years, the court has tended to rule that young people are different from adults and should therefore be treated differently. Jennifer Jenkins is with the National Organization of Victims of Juvenile Lifers. Her sister, brother-in-law, and their baby were killed by a teenager. He's in prison for the rest of his life. She says that sentence is fair, but that for cases where there are questions, checks and balances exist.
There's appeals, and there's new evidence that can be heard, and there's clemency, and then there's all sorts of things that happen throughout the course of a case. So it's just a matter of determining the personal culpability of the offender combined with the heinousness of the cases.
But others believe once a juvenile is convicted, there aren't a lot of options. Like Kurt Jensen, whose son Eric is serving life without parole. When Eric Jensen was 17, he saw his best friend, Nathan Yabanez, killing his mother. We heard from Yabanez earlier. Eric Jensen also helped clean up the blood and roll the body into a carpet. Kurt Jensen has spent the last 15 years trying to free his son. Jensen told CPR's Andrea Dukakis that since his son's conviction, people have changed how they look at juvenile crime.
I think that the public's mind has changed considerably. When Eric was convicted, he was convicted in the middle of Columbine, and we lived very close to the Columbine school. And his name was Eric, and he was a juvenile. And the effect that Columbine had on adults and their feeling about juveniles, in particular juveniles involved in violent crimes, was severe. and I think it stayed that way for quite a while. I think that as the effects of Columbine have begun to soften somewhat, people have said, well, maybe this doesn't make as much sense as it, we thought that it did. And the Colorado legislature, backed by the district attorneys, did change the law from life without parole to 40 years before you could ask for parole for everybody that wasn't convicted during a narrow window, which Eric was, in which the law went from a long sentence but not life into life and then back down to 40 years.
What's your sense after more than a decade long of dealing with this about the criminal justice system? Do you think it works sometimes and not others, or what's your view?
My wife and I were just like everybody, what I think everybody else is, which is the justice system is a justice system that will give justice. The DA will see that they shouldn't be charging him for this high of a crime. The jury will see that Eric shouldn't have been tried at that level and should have been tried at another level. But what happens is you find that once you're inside the system, and I mean once you do something where you're arrested, you are a victim yourself. And I don't mean victim in the bad sense that way. I just mean that it drags you along and there's nothing. The parents, I've met many, many, many of them, and the parents always say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's all changed. I don't know what to do. Of course you don't, because once one person, a district attorney in this case, made up his mind that Eric should be tried as an adult, the rest of the thing was downhill. And after that, everybody just shrugs and says, well, that's the way it goes.
Do you believe he will be released at some point in his life?
Sure. I don't think that there's any other thing that you can think. I mean, I've talked to other people that are inside, and they all believe sometime I'm going to get out of here. But I think that the reality of the world is, generally speaking, once you keep changing the law to make it better for that kinds of sentencing, which the Supreme Court may do, every step along that line makes it harder for the government to keep people in there, the 50 that are in there today that got trapped in that little narrow window. It makes it harder and harder not to do something for some or all of them.
And you've become extremely involved in this issue.
Oh, yes, since almost the first day, because I used to work in the legislature in Illinois. And so I understood how legislatures work generally. And so we started working on it right away.
Your son, Eric, has studied in prison. He's written books in prison. And I wonder if you ever think about what his life would have been like had he been a free man, or at least put in juvenile detention for a certain amount of time and then released.
My wife does that all the time. My son is getting a degree in pre-med. He's already a junior at Indiana University. He's written...
He does that by mail?
Yes. He can't... He is not allowed to be on the internet at all, so he has to do... And he has what's called a proctor inside to give him tests. But he's continued that and doing it at a very rapid rate, more or less. He's written 6 books, all fantasy kinds of novels, and then rewritten them, I don't know how many times each, but each of them are 300 and some pages long, so that gives you an idea. And he's a great artist, and he regularly sends home painting works and other things. So I don't know what he would have become. I try to stay away from that. I try to think, what will he become?
Kurt Jensen is the father of Eric Jensen, one of 50 inmates in Colorado sentenced to life without parole as juveniles. Before the U.S. Supreme Court now are 2 cases on this issue, one out of Arkansas, the other Alabama. CPR's Andrea Dukakis will be back with us tomorrow to talk about other potential changes in juvenile justice. It turns out it's a busy year for this topic in the state legislature.